We just come through the so-called Christmas season, the Christmas and New Year so-called period for 2016-17. And one thing that always surprises me about that time of year is that there are, you see, thousands, perhaps millions of people who deny or ignore God for the rest of the year, and all of a sudden December comes and all of a sudden they seem to find religion for a couple of weeks either side of December the 25th. Now, it's not my purpose to criticize them. Been there, done that, you know. And I worked for 40 years with many such people every day of my work in life, and I think I managed to get along quite well with most of them. And perhaps you have to work with such people on a daily basis, people who live their lives as if there were no God. And some of them are very nice people, and some of them are not. Some of them live somewhat decent lives, and some of them do not. I don't have any actual numbers. I'd have to look it up on the internet or whatever. But from my own experience, it appears to me that at this time in history, there's only a handful of Canadians who even profess to believe in God and to act on that belief. As we look out there on our TV screens every evening on the news, and we see the abominations of the world unfolding, we wonder if Jesus today might be repeating his words in Matthew chapter 17. Let's turn there, please, if you will. Matthew chapter 17, just picking on one verse here. And verse 17, Matthew 17:17. Unbelieving and perverse generation, how long shall I put up with you? And even thinking about his church, the church of God, we know that Jesus was able to foresee the conditions in the end time and conditions to that caused him to ask that question, how long shall I put up with you? And another question that I hate to even think about, I hate to even think about this question, turn over please to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. And verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. And he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? It always boggles my mind that so many people around the world can live from day to day with ideas like there is no God, with ideas that this whole fabulous unit, I don't know whether you saw the mountains out there this morning, looking out over the mountains, just absolutely breathtaking. And people have the idea that the whole vast, fabulous universe is nothing but a series of accidents. And ideas like that those people have nothing to look forward to in their lives beyond their allotted 70 years, other than an eternity of nothing. What a way to live your life. In the meantime, between now and their departure from this world, just by their action and by their inaction, they appear to be saying, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. When I retired a couple of years ago, a friend gave me a really nice book. It was called The Spirit of Retirement, and by a man by the name of James Autry. as in Gene Autry, but and the author recalls this remarkable quote from a lady by the name of Marty Seavey. I don't think she's famous or anything like this, but the quote really jumped out at me is what she said. She said, "My whole life I have sought to find God. When I was a little girl, I asked my mother, 'Where is God?' And when she said that she didn't know, nor did anyone else, I remember thinking, well, why is everybody doing all kinds of things every day instead of trying to find out? I couldn't believe," she said, "that people were shopping, talking, making money, and those kind of things without being preoccupied about finding God." And she continues, "I have looked for God everywhere in my life, and I certainly wanted hard facts. I wanted to know where the manual was, the manual for human relationships, if God existed. Why did he just leave us here with nothing but our curiosity?" Close quote. Now, I'm sure that this lady, Marty Seavey, would be happy to learn that God absolutely did not leave us here with nothing but our curiosity. She'd also hopefully be happy to know that he did give us his manual for human relationships, not just for human relationships, but in fact, his manual for living. He gave us his holy written word, his inspired word. Now, like that, the man who quoted, who we quoted from there, I personally, I have believed in God for as long as I can remember. And I know that that doesn't make me better than anybody else. It doesn't make me better than those who don't believe in him. And I remember when we were kids, when we were really young, my brother Tom, who's died now, and I, we, at night, we would make space in our beds to accommodate God the Father and Jesus Christ and at least one angel, okay? But as we grew older, we saw many true miracles. Trish and I have, like many of you have, I believe, seen, witnessed true miracles. And some of those miracles are right in my own family. And I have, not that I'm seeking a sign or anything else, but I've seen God working in my own family. I've asked him, and Trish and I have asked God to heal our seriously ill child. And he's answered us, not verbally, of course, but he's answered us with a clear, resounding yes. And then later, and for reasons only known to him, he's answered a similar request with a clear no, not yet. And then yet again, with another clear yes. We've seen that in our own lives, undoubted miracles. Trish and I have seen our family doctors, seen his mouth drop open in amazement at some of the healings that God has done, that God has performed for our daughters. And again, we don't seek a sign, but don't tell me that there is no God. Don't tell me that there is no God. If an atheist were to ask me why I believe in God, I doubt that he'd be willing to spare the time that my answer would take. I don't have time here today in this short sermonette to express all of my many reasons for believing in God. But I know that, most of you, I would say all of you, hopefully, who are listening to us today on the internet as well, already have a strong belief in God. And this is I know that this is basic, but this is very good. It's good that you all believe in God, that we all believe in God. Because I'm not sure that I can do justice to a verbal laying out of my reasons why why I believe in God. My efforts at speaking and my efforts at writing cannot compete with some of the professional authors out there in the world. And I'm going to quote one man right now. Many chapters for me, I could write for a long, you know, I could write a whole book. And I don't believe that I could convey, I don't think I could get this point across better than this brief article, very brief article, that was written 50 years ago in 1966 by the late Jim Bishop. And you might know his name. He wrote a book called The Day Christ Died. And I quote, "There is no God. All of the wonders around us are accidental. No almighty hand made 1,000 billion stars. They made themselves. No power keeps them on their steady course. The earth spins itself to keep the oceans from falling off towards the sun. The earth gives itself day and night, tilts itself so that we get seasons. But without the magnetic poles, man would be unable to navigate the trackless oceans of water and air. But they just grew there. The human heart will beat for 70 or 80 years without faltering. How does it get sufficient rest between beats? A kidney will filter poison from the blood and leave good things alone. How does it know one from the other? How about the sugar thermostat in the pancreas? It maintains a level of sugar in the blood sufficient for energy. But without it, all of us would fall into a coma and die. Who gave the human tongue flexibility to form words and a brain to understand them, but denied this to all other animals? Do infants teach themselves to cry when they are hungry or hurt? Who showed a womb how to take the love of two persons and keep splitting a tiny fertilized ovum until, in time, a baby would have the proper number of fingers, eyes, ears, and hair in the right places and come into the world when it is strong enough to sustain life? There is no God." Let's, in conclusion, read what David had to say about this in the Psalms. Psalm 14, verse 1. Psalm 14 and verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Let's go over to Psalm 53, please. Psalm 53, verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Like to play some special music now that fits in, I believe, with this this message, and this is the title. You might have heard this song. It's called "Somebody Bigger Than You and I," and it's by Elvis Presley.
Then hastens the rain when the earth is dry. Somebody bigger than you and I. Who made the flowers? to bloom in the spring. Who made the song for the robins to sing? And who hung the moon in the starry sky? Somebody bigger than you and I. He lights the way when the road is long. He keeps you company, and with his love to guide you, he walks beside you, just like he walks with me. When we're filled with despair, who gives me courage to go on from there? And who gives me faith that we'll never die? Somebody bigger than you and I.